Science and Technology.
Solar power. Sunny side up. An upper crystal layer makes solar panels more powerful.
It is commonly claimed, and also true, that enough sunlight falls on Earth in the course of an hour to meet a year's worth of global power needs. Some of that sunlight is currently converted into electricity by arrays of solar panels. By the end of 2023, these panels covered almost 10,000 square kilometers of Earth's surface, producing some 1,600 terawatt-hours of electricity, about 6% of that generated worldwide. The amount of installed solar capacity has been doubling roughly every 3 years. This is happening as the silicon-based solar cells used in the panels have been getting cheaper with intense competition among firms in China, which, with state support, have come to dominate the industry. At the same time, researchers have found ways to make the cells better at absorbing the energy in sunlight. Modern solar panels operate with efficiency rates of 22 to 24%, a massive increase from the 6% achieved when the first practical solar cells were invented in the 1950s at Bell Labs in New Jersey, and were so expensive they mostly powered satellites. Yet most processes have their limits. The maximum theoretical efficiency of a silicon solar cell, the amount of energy and sunlight that is turned into electricity, is around 29%. This is possible only in laboratory conditions. When cells are packed together into solar panels, the total efficiency of the panel is unlikely to get above 26%. This is partly because the spaces between cells and other parts of the panel, such as the frame, do not contribute to making electricity. There are also inevitable losses of energy in the wires connecting the cells. The future of solar power, however, could lie in a new, more efficient type of solar cell that has just gone into production. Made with a family of crystalline materials called perovskites, they are capable of delivering panels with practical efficiency rates well above 30%. Traditional solar cells typically contain two layers of ultra-pure silicon, both doped with an additive to make them semiconducting, i.e., the ability to work as either a conductor or insulator. As they absorb light, electrons receive enough energy to jump across the junction between the layers, producing an electric current. Although other semiconductors can do the same, none rivals the affordability of silicon, which is produced cheaply from sand. The original perovskite is a mineral called calcium titanium oxide. It was discovered in 1839 and named after Count Lev Perovsky, a Russian mineralogist. The name has since become a generic term for substances with a similar crystalline structure. One of the things that makes perovskites so attractive to researchers as an alternative to silicon is that, in addition to being efficient at absorbing the energy in sunlight, they can also be made cheaply from easily obtainable materials, including a number of metals and halogens like chlorine, bromine, and iodine. Even though their light-absorbing superpowers have been known for some time, they have been difficult to harness, not least because perovskites degrade quickly and can be susceptible to moisture. Researchers are therefore searching for ways to make them more stable and to adapt manufacturing processes to protect the cells from the elements. A leader in developing perovskite panels is Oxford PV, a British company. The firm has developed tandem cells consisting of a thin layer of perovskite placed on a bed of silicon. The idea is that the two materials working together can extract a greater amount of energy from sunlight than each could individually. To do so, the perovskite layer is tweaked to absorb light from the blue end of the spectrum, while the silicon layer mops up the wavelengths of the red end, says Chris Case, the company's chief technology officer. The firm has opened a factory in Germany, which has just started to supply commercial tandem cell solar panels to its first customer, an unnamed utility in America. The panels are being installed, along with conventional silicon units, at a new grid-connected solar farm. This will provide perovskites with their first big test at this scale, not just for efficiency, but also durability and longevity. As silicon panels are expected to continue working for 20 to 25 years, perovskites must demonstrate similar lifespans. The first production panels have an average efficiency of 24.5%, adds Dr. Case. A new generation under development has reached 26.9%, and this is expected to increase to well over 30% as research continues. The theoretical efficiency limit for a perovskite tandem cell in a laboratory is around 43%, compared with the 29% for silicon, even if that is also unlikely to be reached once it is integrated into a panel. Other companies are also close to commercializing their versions of perovskite-on-silicon solar panels. Hanwha, a big South Korean industrial group, has invested 137 billion won, that's $102 million, in a factory to make tandem cells for its Q-cells range of solar panels. At lab scale, the firm says individual cells have achieved a maximum efficiency of 29.3%. The current world record for a lab-based perovskite tandem cell is 34.6%. This was claimed in June by LONGi Green Energy Technology, a big Chinese manufacturer. It began working on mass production for the cells in October 2023. The firm says it has also achieved 30.1% efficiency in a prototype commercial-size panel, though it has not yet announced when production will begin.